Members, I'd like to call the Rules and Administration Committee to order. We have a quorum present. Welcome. I am grateful to be here together with you today. Senator Pappas is on her way. She's going to be joining this committee, or has joined this committee, as Senator Dietzick has stepped off. We have just three items of business today, and I want to make sure that everybody's aware that we're going to do a subcommittee on committees to follow. So for those of you that are on the subcommittee of committees, please stay in your seats when we adjourn the Rules Committee hearing. We're going to talk about the LCC benefit book. We're going to talk about a committee resolution. And we're just move through this agenda fairly quickly. So I'd like to invite Michelle Urich from the LCC to come up and talk about the brief overview of changes adopted by the LCC regarding the benefit book. Welcome to the committee, Ms. Urich. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. I'm Michelle Urich with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. There are two documents in your packets today related to the LCC's benefit book. One is a memo from myself to LCC members that summarizes the changes that were proposed. And the second is a copy of the benefit book in legislative format showing you in track changes, the various changes. Every 2 years, the LCC convenes a working group of nonpartisan staff of the House, Senate, and the joint offices to look at and consider changes to propose for adoption. The LCC met on November 15th and adopted this book. There are certain provisions that are under the authority of the LCC, such as insurance, vacation, severance, and sick leave, that once those are adopted by the LCC, they become effective for staff of the House, the Senate, and the joint offices. However, other policies that are included in the book do require adoption by the Senate Rules Committee and the House Rules Committee before they go into effect. So the changes, to briefly summarize the changes that are included this year, there are updates to the CGIP program, which is the state employee group insurance program, and that's, we buy into that, the legislature buys into that for our insurance coverage, which includes our health, dental, life, and disability insurance. There's also a number of policy changes that the working group proposed. One is to permit the lactation rooms to also be used for the purposes of nursing children. We are encouraging employees to register with emergency messaging services that are available through Capital Security. We're recognizing the authority of each of the appointing authorities to develop telework policies. This is not authorizing telework in the benefit book, but it is recognizing the authority of each of the appointing authorities to develop policies associated with that. It does add an additional paid holiday, and that holiday is the legislative break day. It is defined as the Friday before the conclusion of the legislative break. In circumstances when there is more than one break, legislative leadership designates what day that falls on, that paid holiday. It increased the vacation balances that could be carried forward from 275 hours to 300 hours, and the LCC made that change effective on November 15th so that employees could take advantage of it during calendar year 2023. It clarifies that sick leave may not be used for vacation, employment, or volunteer purposes. It also outlines circumstances under which employees may be required to provide a statement from a medical practitioner. It permits the Senate and LCC to adopt policies that would allow employees to donate vacation time to employees in other branches, the judicial branch and the executive branch. And the reason that that applies only to the Senate and the LCC is that we use the same human resources and payroll system that are used by those branches of government, so we're able to administratively support it if we were to adopt policies allowing it. It clarifies that voting leave includes voting, early voting, and in-person absentee voting, and it also prorates time associated with serving as an election judge. It recognizes that the House and Senate and LCC are separate entities. There are a number of technical changes to conform with legislation that was passed last session as well. One of the more substantial changes were changes related to the earned safe and sick time. And with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very, very much, Ms. Urich. Members, do you have questions on the presentation that she shared with us. Of course, what she's going over is something that's already been adopted by the LCC. And then we are going to make a motion to and adopt the benefit book. Any questions, members? Seeing no questions, Senator Frantz, would you move adoption?
So moved.
Thank you, Senator Frantz. Senator Frantz moves the adoption of the LCC benefit book. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you, Ms. Yurick. The next item on our agenda is the committee resolution CR008. This is a resolution that creates a $50 monthly stipend for communications expenses for staff. It will be available for permanent and temporary staff. This is building on something that we have done in the past. We're putting it back into effect for this session so that the staff that rely especially on cell phones for communication, which have become fairly ubiquitous, that we are recognizing that cost. Are there questions, members? Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, so this is something that we did for the first time starting in, 2020? Is that correct, with the, when the health emergency protocol started coming to effect?
Thanks, Senator Johnson. I'm gonna invite Mr. Bodden to join us to make sure that we have the history accurately reflected.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members. Tom Botter, Secretary of the Senate. So I think the question is, when did the Senate begin providing a technology stipend? So working from memory, it's correct. I think this first occurred during the pandemic. I can't remember whether it was 2020 or 2021. There were federal funds available, and I think the dollar amount of the stipend might have been higher. Might have been $100 per month for some period of time, but that is correct. It goes back a ways.
Madam Chair, could you ask Mr. Bodden to put his mic closer?
Thank you, Senator Est. Secretary Bodden, if you could speak a little more closely into the microphone, it would be helpful.
Sorry, it's a little ways further. Is this better? Do I need to, should I repeat what I just said? Would that be helpful?
No, it's fine. Thank you. Are there further questions?
Madam Chair,
Senator Johnson.
Thank you for that, and I appreciate that. So where is this reflected in the Senate budget, or what is the fiscal cost on this one?
Secretary Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Johnson, so this would be treated as a one-time expense. I've worked together with the Senate Controller, Betty Myers, to develop an estimate for the cost. I will point out this also includes temporary staff. That's new. The Senate hasn't done that before. The total cost is estimated to be about $83,900. Obviously, it's difficult to identify that with, you know, further precision, but that's about where it lands. Because it's a one-time cost, the budgeting would treat it as something to be paid for from the carry-forward account, and right now the carry-forward is slightly more than $9 million.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Johnson.
And while we're on the topic of costs, I do have an A2 amendment for the resolution. So we could hand that out.
Senator Johnson has an amendment that is being distributed by staff.
As staff is handing this out, the A2 amendment again deals with costs incurred to the Senate. And just to make sure that our processes align, so that people are aware, both leadership, but then also rank and file and general public know some of the costs that are being incurred to our Senate body. This is public money, and we want to make sure that we're being good stewards of it. And so I don't have the A2 in front of me. But this simply states that any legal defense fees that the Senate is responsible for would come to the Rules Committee, just to make sure that we have a very transparent process for those who may or may not know what's going on. This would give a little bit of light for some of those expenditures. So I, Madam Chair, ask for your support on the A2 amendment.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. As I understand what you're proposing here, You would ask that the Rules Committee meet to approve any invoice that would come before the legislature. So we'd be meeting on a fairly regular basis if we needed to approve this expenditure.
That is correct, Madam Chair.
And I'm asking, I would like Ms. Dangle to just, if you could share with us, what is the current process?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The current process for all contracts, including contracts for legal fees, is for a contract over $10,000, it needs to be signed off on by the Majority Leader and another member of the Rules Committee. Typically, it's the Minority Leader, but it doesn't have to be. And once that contract is approved over $10,000, the Secretary of the Senate can pay that without approval of the Rules Committee. This resolution would then require additional action for those fees to be approved by the Rules Committee on a regular basis.
Thank you, Ms. Dangle. Senator Frantz.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks, Senator Johnson, for bringing it forward. I guess the obvious question is, are we going to have additional Rules Committee meetings every time there's an expense that needs to be approved? My concern would be the current process working well. Maybe Ms. Stengel could provide, Madam Chair, a little more explanation of other expenses besides legal fees that we now don't need to have a Rules Committee meeting for, that would open the door to saying, well, if we're meeting over this, my concern simply, members, is not to increase the frequency of Rules Committee and frustrate the efforts of the Senate to function smoothly. But I'm not an expert on the kinds of things, Ms. Stengel, that go out. Maybe a little more information about what other kinds of things we might need to meet for the same monetary amount. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Frantz. Ms. Dangle.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Frantz. To note, the amendment before you is just litigation and legal fees, so it wouldn't pull in the other types of contracts. Mr. Bonnern would be better able to talk about the other types of contracts that come before the Senate, as he would manage those, so he could probably talk about the other types of contracts.
Secretary Bonnern.
Madam Chair and members, there are a variety of contracts that are approved under the authority that Ms. Stengel is referencing. Typically, those relate to often software costs, other, you know, use of outside experts for various computer-related and, you know, IT functions. There are what I would call more the capital improvement type of expenses. For example, there have been recent improvements to the Senate page room that were funded and paid for, approved under the authority Ms. Stengel is referencing. Those are the other types of expenses. Litigation expenses, I think, obviously vary a tremendous amount in frequency, you know, over the years.
Thank you, Secretary Bonnern. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the last thing I want to do is advocate for more meetings. However, I thought that we were already doing this. Is there any precedent, Mr. Bonnern, of litigation and legal fees coming before the Rules Committee? Because I thought this was already, or I thought this was already a Senate rule.
Secretary Bonnern.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, there have been previous instances where payment of any additional fees for particular cases were referenced in a Rules Committee resolution that specifically required further Rules Committee payment for those expenses. But there is no general requirement for approval of fees and expenses on a meeting-by-meeting or bill-by-bill basis.
Senator Miller.
Madam Chair, thank you. So Ms. Stengel mentioned that perhaps some of this is discussed within maybe leadership within the majority and the minority caucuses. How, if it's not in front of the Rules Committee, how do rank and file members follow along with what's going on with litigation and legal fees if it does not come to the Rules Committee? What's the current process for rank and file members to be notified?
I can take a stab at that. I have served in the Senate now. I think I'm in my fourth year. I don't believe that the Senate has been sued. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Service would, in some cases or most cases, become a matter of public record, in which case members would have information. at that time. So like most things, this is a public institution. We rely on a set of rules. We rely on the information that comes to us through the public domain. And that, from my perspective, although I've not been through it before, is what I understand would be the way rank and file members would know.
And Madam Chair, one
Senator Miller.
One more question, I think. Is there any current litigation or legal fees being spent by the Senate, right, as we speak? And Madam Chair, at the same time, how do we budget for that? Is it a line item in the budget? So are there any legal fees currently being spent by the Senate, and then how would we budget for that? Is it a line item in the Senate budget?
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To my knowledge, the Senate is not engaged in any litigation at this point. The Senate has engaged an outside counsel to assist us in an employment matter. The invoices for that attorney are public information.
So,
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Stengel, if it's public information, what is the dollar amount that the, what costs has the Senate incurred to date on this legal matter?
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Senator Murphy. Senator Miller, I don't have that dollar amount with me, but I can certainly figure it out. I don't know if Mr. Bodden has that number with him.
Secretary Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, I think, and I just want to make sure I understand the question correctly, you're asking the total amount of legal expenses paid to date for a particular matter. I didn't hear everything completely. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Ms. Stengel just said that there's a, Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
What legal costs have been incurred by the Senate for the employment matter? This is the first time hearing about it. I had no idea. Which is, I think, why it's important for rank and file members to know about this, but maybe not. Maybe it's a dollar amount that's insignificant. But if the Senate is spending money, I believe that members and the public should know how much money is being spent.
Secretary Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, there have been two invoices received to date in the matter that's being referred to, and without precision, to the exact dollar figure, I can tell you the total amount is in excess of $60,000.
Madam Chair.
Senator Miller.
Mr. Bodden or Madam Chair, has this amount been, was this included in the Senate budget?
Secretary Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, the way legal expenses, again, occurring infrequently and often unpredictably have been handled in the past is they're paid for from the Senate carry forward. That's how they would be treated for this matter. It's really not an item in the sense of, recurring with some level of predictability that would be easy to budget for.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Miller.
One last question, I think, for Senator Johnson. So is your intent with this amendment, if this amendment were to pass, is the intent for these legal fees to come before this committee, before the Rules Committee, to get approved before they're paid? And if so, it's certainly something I would be supportive of, just to provide transparency to us as members, the rest of the members that aren't involved in those conversations, and then certainly to provide transparency to the public on how their taxpayers are being spent. But is that your intent for this to make these litigation and legal fees more transparent to members and the public? Yeah.
Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, that is my intent. That unlike other expenses that might come around, like new desks, which you would expect the Senate to be paying for, or other items such as that, that they're typical in the normal course of our daily business. This is something that's extraordinary to what we're doing here, and I think it's important to highlight the cost to our Senate body. And this is going to be taking money out of the carry forward, which means it's going to limit our ability to do other things as a Senate, as an institution here. So I think we need to be very diligent and aware of the expenses that we're being paid out to litigation fees as opposed to our normal course of business.
Cool. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Johnson. As a rank and file member, this is certainly certainly something I would be supportive of.
Thank you. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm curious about another train of thought here. We have a claims committee, or a subcommittee, as I understand it, and I think that there's a chair, and they take in claims against the Senate or against the state, or maybe it goes through the Legislative Coordinating Commission. I don't know the process, but I wonder, Senator Bodern, if you would, I'm sorry, Secretary Bodern, if you would review that for us. And Senator Johnson, and Senator Miller, I don't believe, Madam Chair, that those claims that we accept, pay, or mitigate, or whatever, change, are part of our budget. And I wonder, Ms. Stengel or Mr. Bodern, how does the Claims Committee operate when there is, and I'm thinking back to the I-35W bridge collapse. There were claims brought against the legislature or a settlement that was done on our behalf, as I recall. That committee does, that subcommittee doesn't often have anything, but it sometimes does, and maybe it would be helpful to understand that before this. And I don't know whether the Claims Committee reports to the Rules Committee or whether it just, or where it goes, but maybe if we could have a little bit more information about that, it would be helpful. Madam Chair, Senator Miller, and it may not include legal fees of someone who's making a claim against us or not, but I think it would be very useful information for us.
Ms. Dangle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So there is the Subcommittee on Claims. It's a joint House and Senate committee. And the purpose of that particular subcommittee is to consider tort claims made against the state. So they're a very specific task with a very specific purpose. And they are a joint committee of the House and Senate. So they only consider certain types of claims. And they are set up under a specific statute and have specific statutory guidance on what they can and can't do. So that might work for some claims, but it might not work for everything.
So Senator Madam Rest. Chair, so Ms. Stengel, does the Senate have any authority over the Claims Committee and what they, even though it's a joint subcommittee of the LCC, I guess, or maybe it's a different commission, maybe the LAC. How does the Senate and the rank and file members become involved in the decisions made by the Claims Committee, subcommittee?
Ms. Dangle.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Rest. So they do have committee hearings, much the same as the other hearings, and then they do have a bill that is heard by the Senate, and it goes through a process like that.
And Madam Chair.
Senator Rest.
Ms. Dangle, does it come, is it a subcommittee? What's the process? Did it come to the Rules Committee, which is something that Senator Johnson is pursuing here?
Ms.
How does it get to the floor?
Madam Chair, I'm not entirely sure. I see Michelle Urich's in the approaching the testifier table. I think she might be able to talk a little more about the process.
Welcome back to the committee, Ms. Urich. If you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, thank you. I'm Michelle Urich. I'm the director of the Legislative Coordinating Commission. And as Ms. Stengel mentioned, it's a joint subcommittee of the House and the Senate. They individuals, members of the public, or organizations from the public submit their claims to the LCC. The LCC compiles them. They're reviewed by an attorney in the revisor's office who determines whether or not the claim is eligible for consideration by the legislature. And then ultimately, if it's approved by the subcommittee to be paid, it does require action by both the House and Senate, the full bodies, to pass a bill that authorizes for the payment of those claims.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator,
I'm still
Rest.
Asking, where does it go? I mean, it requires action, so the subcommittee meets. And where does a bill that comes out of their deliberations, does it come to the Rules Committee? Does it come to the Finance Committee? Who gets it to the floor? It just can't get there by itself. And a subcommittee is not authorized, I don't believe, to get a bill to the floor of the House or the Senate. It's a bigger process than that, is it not?
Madam Chair and Senator Rest, that you're correct. It typically goes through the Ways and Means or the Senate Finance Committee and then is advanced to the floor of each body for consideration.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rest.
Ma'am, does it ever come to the Rules Committee? Just trying to understand the process.
Ms. Urich.
Madam Chair and Senator Rest, we don't believe so. I'd have to go back, though. We don't believe that it comes to the Rules Committee. I believe it goes through Ways and Means and Senate Finance, but I can confirm that and get back to the committee.
So, Madam Chair, the
Senator
path
Rest.
To the Rules Committee would be if the Finance Committee took some action and then a member on the floor, Rule 21, that would send it to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess that typically I think when we get litigation, it has to do with some kind of HR situation, and that's usually held very confidential. So I think there's some issues around that. I mean, I'm not clear exactly. I'm not a lawyer, but that's my concern, is that if you have some kind of a settlement or something which has happened in the past, I believe that I know that we have had issues. When I was in the Rules Committee before around litigation, but I think around legal fees. But I think maybe it was kind of unusual to have that. Not quite remembering. Senator Limmer has been on the Rules Committee a long time. Maybe he remembers.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. I want to thank staff for this. Remind folks that this body, the Senate, dealt with litigation around the then Senate President, Lieutenant Governor Fischbach, and the process that is in place today for approving such litigation costs was used then. The costs were $146,000 for the legal services, and the process that is intact today that we have used is the process that we used then. It's also important to remember that there's a subcommittee on litigation that is a part of the Rules Committee. Senator Francis, the chair of that. He may have some experience to share with us about his work. I'm not sure. But we do have a process in place. Senator Frentz.
Actually, Madam Chair, I think Senator Miller had his hand up first, but I would like to address that question. Well, first of all, members, to Senator Johnson's amendment, keep in mind that the litigation expenses as incurred are already public. A request can be made to the secretary, and so I think my concern was the frequency of Rules Committee meetings. We're all very busy. We have a lot to do. So to that point, and then Litigation Subcommittee, Madam Chair, is just what it says, an opportunity for members to contribute to issues when litigation has been commenced. And it's probably worth mentioning, to Senator Pappas's point, there are certain HR rules that we're all governed by which require some things not be discussed in public until they reach a certain point. And in my opinion, Madam Chair, many of those rules are a very good thing. We have employees to protect and to provide a good workplace. Those rules are set up primarily to keep things from disclosing things that employees wouldn't want disclosed. And obviously, if litigation is commenced, that is a completely different matter, as the chair pointed out. Then it's a matter of public record, and the public can weigh in. But to Senator Johnson's amendment, the cost that the Senate is spending on litigation is already public. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Prince. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to follow up on that, too, as well, and we're not looking to get into the substantive arguments within the cases, the things that might be sensitive to privacy and privilege. All we're saying is dollar amounts that affect this Senate body and its ability to function should be something that both leadership and rank and file should be aware of. And this is a really good opportunity to bring those costs forward and monitor them throughout the process. And so this does not broach any sort of confidentiality issue, privilege issue, anything like that. So this is simply public information that we are keeping track of in a very transparent manner.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You had brought up a case. I believe that this body and this committee have, at least at some point in my 14 years here, this committee has reviewed and approved legal fees before they were paid. And I could be incorrect in that, but I strongly believe, unless my memory is serving me incorrectly, Mr. Bodden, I see you shaking your head. Is that an accurate statement that at some point, at least in the last 14 years, that this committee has reviewed legal fees before they were paid? And I believe they were in an employment manner similar to what we're dealing with now. Apparently, I don't know anything about what we're dealing with, but
Secretary?
I'm just really confused, Madam Chair. This is the first time hearing about this, and I mean, if we're going to pay over $60,000 in legal fees, I think we as members should know about that. And I keep hearing that these invoices are public, but where? Like, did we receive an email? I don't believe, I'll check with my staff when I get back, but I don't believe I've received any information related to these so-called public invoices. So two questions. Number one, is there some precedent for this in the similar type of situation? And then number two, these invoices are public. How do the public learn about these invoices?
Secretary Bodden.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, answering both questions. First, you are correct. There was a specific instance. I tried to reference that earlier, but perhaps not successfully. In 2012, I believe, a resolution was adopted by the Rules Committee that required advance approval of payment of any litigation expenses in the lawsuit filed by former Senate employee Michael Broadkorb against the Senate. That litigation proceeded along those lines. All bills were approved before they could be paid by the Rules Committee. That was a specific resolution adopted by the Rules Committee that required that. Your second question is whether they're public. While there's no public distribution required or other form of circulation, the financial records of the Senate are public data.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Miller.
Mr. Secretary, one last question for me. How would a rank and file member how would we know about this invoice? And how would we have the opportunity to view that? How would a rank and file member, how would the public know about this?
Secretary Bodden.
Madam Chair, what I think I will say in response to that, Senator Miller, is that approval was given to enter into a contractual relationship with a law firm pursuant to the policies that we have in place that Ms. Stengel referenced earlier. So there is knowledge, at least attributable to leadership, in the Senate of the existence of this matter, and subsequent requests could be made at any time on a monthly basis. A standing request could be submitted to provide that information to yourself or anyone else you cared to name.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Miller.
Mr. Bodern, so while leadership may have agreed to enter into this agreement, the rest of the Senate, rank and file members, the public would really have no knowledge of this otherwise. Is that correct?
Secretary Bodern.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, the one other piece I want to add here is there is quarterly reporting required for the Senate budget. At some point, these expenses become visible in the sense of being attributed to the carry forward or whatever other portion of the budget that would exist. So that's another form of reporting where I feel there's some measure of visibility.
But Madam Chair and Mr.
Miller.
Secretary, other than leadership knowing that an agreement was entered into, there would be no other public notification for members or the public.
Secretary Bodern.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, I'm hesitant to commit completely to answer only because at some point, if litigation commences, anything like that, obviously it would be known that the Senate was a defendant and paying for attorneys in some fashion. So I just want to be very careful with that answer.
Madam Chair, Mr. Secretary, let me rephrase that question. When the agreement was entered into, there's no notification until at least the later time when maybe these expenses become public in a budget or the litigation becomes public.
Secretary Bodern.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, it's correct that I do not provide some form of mass notification when the Senate retains an attorney.
Madam Chair and
Senator
Mr.
Miller.
Bodern, not only mass notification, but no notification to the members of the Senate as well.
Madam Chair and Senator Miller, with the exception of the leadership.
Thank you.
Senator Prince.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, and thank you, Senator Johnson. Since there is an opportunity for a standing request, Secretary Bodern, would you be comfortable explaining how the Senate Minority Leader could make a standing request for information on any expense, be it page room remodeling or litigation expense?
Secretary Bodern.
Madam Chair, that request could be submitted verbally, by email, in any fashion. I would hope to be as responsive as possible.
Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Secretary Bodern. So if I'm understanding correctly, members, Senator Johnson, on behalf of his caucus, can make a standing request for notification from the Secretary's office for any litigation expense. Seems to me transparency is a virtue, and that opportunity would potentially obviate what I'm really driving at, which is the need for the entire Rules Committee to reconvene simply to be informed of that. With that, Madam Chair, as I understand it, I think a better approach here would be to allow the standing request to be made and to vote no on the amendment, but appreciate the opportunity to discuss it.
Thank you, Senator Prince. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I take the opposite view, I think, in a way to provide transparency to members and the public, and since there is precedent to doing something like this, I would support the amendment.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to Senator Francis' point, too, as well. Now, again, this is something that is different than a normal course of business. And so it just for the image and for really the reputation of our institution, of the Senate, litigation implies that something was done wrong or there is an issue that the Minnesota Senate has committed something that we need legal defense for. So it is very, very important to me and for this institution as a body to make sure that we're being very upfront on things like legal expenses, legal fees, any sort of settlement. Now, we don't need to necessarily get into the substantive detail of that where we cannot, but the more information that we can give not only our members, but also the public in a public setting, in a public meeting, is very critical to me, and I think it should be to all of us. So the fact that we might have to take an extra 15 minutes or a half an hour on a monthly basis to discuss that in public, I think is a pretty poor excuse for not doing our job here and protecting our roles and our responsibilities in this institution.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. Are there further questions? I find Senator Frentz's argument quite persuasive, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the debate. Seeing no further questions on the A2 amendment, all those
Madam Chair, can I request a roll call, please?
Senator Johnson has requested a roll call on the A2 amendment. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Murphy?
No.
Vice Chair Rest?
No.
Lee Johnson?
Yes.
Senator Champion?
No.
Senator Eichhorn?
Aye.
Senator Frentz?
No.
Senator Lemmer?
Yes.
Senator Marty?
No.
Senator Miller?
Yes.
Senator Pappas?
No. There being six no's and four yeses, the motion does not prevail. Before us again then is the resolution, committee resolution CR008 dealing with stipends. Are there further questions on the resolution? This again is a stipend for our staff. Seeing no further questions, Senator Rest moves the adoption of CR008.
That's my motion.
Thank you, Senator Rest. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that a motion is adopted. Members, that concludes the work of the Rules Committee. I'm going to, that's right. Thank you very, very much. Yep. Before us next is the subcommittee membership. We're changing the makeup of the subcommittee on committees, and we're doing it to align the work of the subcommittee on committees with Rule Committee members. In the past, we've had other members. Because the subcommittee on committees meets right after the committee on rules, it made more sense for members and their time to make sure that the people on the subcommittee on committees are rule committee members. And so before you, you have a handout with those changes. Are there questions? Then, seeing no questions, Senator Pappas moves the adoption of the subcommittee membership changes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, say no. And that motion is adopted. Thank you. And members, as I said, I'm going to adjourn the Rules Committee members, or the Rules Committee, and call into order the subcommittee on committees. The members that are members of the subcommittee on committees are Senator Champion, Senator Eichhorn, Senator Marty, Senator Pappas, and myself. I would ask those members to stay, and the rest of you can go as you choose. And with that, the Committee on Rules is adjourned.